there is a level of frustration that there is no clear message. No one is really sure what to do, either by the federal government information or by state information, other than wear a mask. And no one has any clear answers. So
do
again,
I have to call them? Are you saying that since they're not speaking up, I have to take charge here? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That
Dan, you know what? You probably are doing more to try to inform people than the people who we have elected and pay to inform us.
All right, let me call.
You probably give us more answers.
Hold on. I'm trying to make it work, sir.
No, I know you are, Dan. I appreciate it. I appreciate your show.
All right.
And I appreciate your listeners.
Hold on. Don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Calling Brian Pettyjohn, State Senator Brian Pettyjohn. See if he wants to talk to us.
Well, I believe Brian is also the Senate leader for the Republican legislature, correct?
I think that might be Hawker.
Either or.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Brian, it's Dan on the air. I wanted to know if you could answer this caller's question. What's your question, sir?
What happened to $1.36 billion sent to the state of Delaware under the American Rescue Plan?
And you wanted to say something speaking up about masks as well?
About the overreach of emergency orders by the governor of the state of Delaware. What is your position? Where did the money go? Accountability. What are you going to do?
All right. Thanks, man. All right, sir. Thank you. Let's see. Who else can we call? Returning our call, Brian Pettyjohn, State Senator Brian Pettyjohn. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling back. Did you get that listener's question?
I kind of saw the transcript from the voicemail, and I just decided to call you. So I didn't actually listen to what you were, what was on the voicemail.
Here's the deal. Yesterday on the show, multiple people, including this gentleman has a question about where's all the money going, you know, but anyway, that's a different issue. Multiple people say, look, where are our Republicans saying something about this mask mandate? What are they making a statement? Have they said anything on social media? Are they doing anything? What's your position on the mask mandate from the governor?
I mean, my position is it's absolutely unnecessary.
Did you say anything yesterday or put out a release or stand up to tell him that it was wrong?
The release is coming out. We've got some staff issues right now with some people that are out with some pretty serious issues right now. So
that's
we're
a no. That's a no.
That's a no. But you'll be seeing something coming out probably this morning. If it's not from the entire caucus, it'll be from leadership. But we absolutely disagree with it.
You have to have staff. You have to have staff to write the note. You can't write it yourself. What's the deal?
We're trying to get a caucus position. All of our members kind of agreeing on the same thing. But this is my position that I'm speaking of right now as Brian Pettyjohn, as Senator Pettyjohn. Absolutely disagree with the measures. I mean, we're coming up on 2 years. Coming up on 2 years of being in this situation, and the public knows right now what they need to do to protect themselves. If you want to wear a mask, before the mask mandate, going into the grocery store, I saw a lot of people wearing masks. That's great. That's their decision. That's their choice to be able to do that. If you want the vaccine, great. Get your two shots. Get your boosters. That's your choice. Mandates are not something that we should be doing. We've got hospitalizations right now. One of the things that I asked public health on our call Monday when they announced that they were going to be doing this mandate effective yesterday morning was, okay, we've got hospitalizations. We know there are people in the hospitals with COVID. What percentage of them are from the Delta variant? What percentage are from this highly contagious Omicron variant that we're putting the masks on for? And they don't have that data. So again, we're making decisions based on incomplete data. If they were saying, look, you know, this highly transmittable Omicron variant, we're seeing 60% in the hospitals because of that, okay, that's one thing. But we're not getting that. And the second question, the part of that is, well, how many people were in the hospital for something else that just happened to test positive for COVID as well? And you're seeing a lot. You know, I know somebody that went in for a routine procedure, went in, oh yeah, guess what? You're COVID positive. Well, where does that number count? You know, they're not in the hospital because of COVID. They just happen to have COVID and they're in the hospital. So, you know, we need a complete set of data in order to make these decisions. I think this mask mandate is a reaction to just the hospital numbers, when we need to look down and look at this data and find out exactly why. Okay. You know, we need to look at the details of that data.
This letter that's coming out, what do you hope the letter will do?
It's to show that our disapproval of this. You know, we disagree with the measures. You know, the General Assembly has been left out of the decision-making process as well. You know, we're a co-equal branch of government that is now in session. We were informed that the governor was going to be doing it, not we would like a discussion with the leadership of the General Assembly or with the General Assembly about this. You know, the message we got is the governor is going to be doing this, period. And despite the bills that we had presented last year in order to curtail the power of the executive branch in terms of the amount of time that a state of emergency can be put in effect, you know, those bills didn't go anywhere. So as it is right now, the governor has the decision to institute a state of emergency about what the state of emergency is and how long he wants to continue it without that input from the General Assembly, the branch that's supposed to be representing the people.
A question for Brian Pettyjohn. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Dan, again. And Mr. Pettyjohn, I appreciate you calling in.
Yep.
I'd like to ask you a question. The state of Delaware under the American Rescue Plan got $1.36 billion. Where's the accountability of that? What was that money used for?
Okay. Well, on that question, I believe it was the auditor's office that came out with, it was Project Gray Fox. And that information is on the auditor's website. I think it's grayfox.delaware.gov. And it breaks out the spending by department.
The Democrat, by the way, excuse me to interrupt, the Democrat state auditor on a website that is voluntary for people to participate in?
I think it's voluntary for the towns and the counties. I believe that she's pulling the data directly from the state checkbook for the state spending. But that's broken out there.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep, but that's broken out there on that website.
Question number two is, when COVID first started, if I believe it was April or May of 2020, again, you sent a strongly worded letter. We're going into year two now. Other than your press release that obviously you can't write for yourself, what exactly has the Republican Party done to reel back in these excessive emergency orders by not only this governor, but any governor going forward? What exactly have you done? And the Republican Party in this?
We have introduced legislation to do that. However,
okay.
Look,
and you've
you know,
been
we,
out front where?
Excuse me?
Where have you been out front on that? Where have you been each and every week since this started in 2 years? You and the other Republican leadership in this state, news organizations, print media, radio media, every day touting why this was wrong. We're 2 years into this now.
We have introduced that legislation. We put the legislation in. We defended that legislation in committee. And the issue is, you know, we live in a republic where, you know, you've got to get a majority of the elected officials to agree to a bill. Otherwise, we wouldn't be anything better than the governor that we have now in terms of forcing an edict. You know, the people
Pettyjohn,
of the state of Delaware.
Let me interrupt you here for just a moment. That's double talk. The way you get things accomplished is you get the people of the state behind you with your message, with your policy. again, it's not about the legislation. You know it's going to fail. It's a Democratic-controlled legislature. But the way you do that is by getting the people behind your policy. And the Republican Party continuously fails to get their message out to the people of Delaware.
And in all due
fairness, Republican or Democrat, it's independent.
And in fairness, this gentleman is repeating something that I just continually hear from people, Brian.
I hear that. No, I hear that as well.
I don't think you do, Mr. Why can't we? I'm blaming the entire party.
And that's something that as a party we need to look at. You know, as a party, we need to be able to recruit individuals that are going to run. Number one, and two, no. Win in these districts. Yes, it is about that. That's how you get members in the General Assembly is to go out into the districts and to get support in their districts and win elections. You've got to win elections in order to govern.
All right. Caller, last comment. Hold on. Last comment from the caller, please, and then we'll finish up, Brian. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. There are just as many Democrats out there with the same level of frustration as there are Republicans, as there are independents. It is a failure, an absolute failure of the Republican Party in this state to put out a cohesive message to the constituents of this state, be it any party. You don't represent just Republicans, sir. You represent everyone in Delaware. And you don't have a message. Republican Party does not message. So you can talk to me about candidates and getting and winning elections. Sir, it's about the message. It's about the policy. And you'll find that level-headed people of both parties and of independents will come along if the message is conveyed to them in a way that makes sense.
Okay.
So 2 years into this, you're talking about elections. Basically, what you're saying is, in 2 years, we just got to win elections, and that's the only way we're going to fix it, when it goes back to common sense policy for all of Delawareans. And that's where you're missing.
And I guess my question for you is, you know, have you filed to run for office? You know, what have you done to help with the messaging? You know, the messaging comes from the party. The messaging also flows through the people.
So here,
no, I'm not.
To respond. I've served my country. Yes, several years ago, I was going to try to run for I believe Senator Ennis has the seat now. I was living in Odessa.
Great.
So yes, I've done that.
Great.
And I'm also good friends with Charlie Copeland. I'm good friends with a lot of the Republican leadership. So please do not question what I have done. Sir, you're the elected official, not me. I'm the one, as well as other Delawareans, who have put you all in power to represent us and to convey policies. And you have failed, and the rest of the Republican leadership has failed. So when does this stop?
Again, and I can't stress this enough. And you know, we talk about this. People get, you know, really passionate about these things, and that's great. We need the passion out there. When it comes to actually going out there and helping candidates and recruit and you know, let's say you've got somebody that you know that decides to run for office. That's great. You know, they need support. They need people to help, you know, go and knock doors for them. They need to help. They need people out there.
What are you doing now? Not what is in the future. What have you done for the last 2 years and the Republican leadership have done for the last 2 years?
All right. Well, we're going back and
get a handle on that.
I understand. Caller, hold on. I respect you holding him to the fire here, holding his feet to the fire. We're repeat questioning at this point. So I do thank you. I'm going to let Brian respond, then I have another question for Brian. Anything else for that caller?
No, I mean, and look, you know, we've been out front. We have, you know, we have been public in disagreeing with us. You know, I've been on your show. I've been on the other conservative talk stations. You know, we've written letters to the editor. We have, you know, requested A.G. Barr when he was attorney general to look at these things.
Yeah. And nothing happened.
And nothing happens. And again, you know, we had an election in 2000, and a lot of the same people that supported these things or didn't speak out got reelected.
All right, another question, and maybe you could help out. Maybe you have advice.
Okay.
Top talk topic today, one of them, an offshoot of one of the top talk topics today, Many, many people are being mandated to take weekly tests, but can't get them for days if they can get them at all. Right now we're in this situation where they have to get a test. They can't get them. They're even going to the emergency room wrongly in a desperate attempt to get a test just so they can go back to work. Are we going to see any relief on this problem?
I think so. That was discussed when we were on the call Monday with DHSS, the governor's chief of staff. That's something that, you know, not only Republicans, but a member of the Democrat caucus brought up to them. And, you know, whether it's state employees, private employers that are requesting this, you know, we know that it's an issue now. They're trying to obtain more tests and get more spots open. And, you know, we requested them, especially on the state side, to help provide some relief. You know, you've got schools right now. There's this test to stay program. But, you know, I heard from a constituent of a neighboring district that, you know, they can't find any testing locations for the 2-hour test. The only things that they can find are the home tests, but they're not acceptable.
Right.
For
so when is the solution? So what's the solution? Is there a solution?
The DHSS is developing that solution. We should be hearing something very shortly about that.
Question for Brian. Go ahead. Caller.
Hi, good morning. I'm just calling in response to the last caller. So I did want to give Brian an accolade on something. I had requested the entire Republican caucus to start coming out to school board meetings. And I will say, Brian responded, he put it on his calendar, and he showed up to the Indian River School Board meeting in December. I also want to say that there was no other Republican representative and no other Republican senator that showed up. And so, Brian, thank you for what you do, because you're doing a lot when we, the constituents, reach out to you. You respond via text. You pick up the phone. You're responding to emails. But that is not happening consistently. And this whole year, with everything that's been going on in schools, you know, Representative Steve Smick actually said, what do you think, I can go to every single school board meeting? Yeah, I do. That's why I elected people. We need to see the support. You all could be making public comment at school board meetings. There was a school board meeting in November at Indian River where they actually had questions. And that's when I reached out to you, because they said, we need the senators and the representatives here. We don't know the answer to this. Thank you for coming in December. But I think as a Republican caucus, you guys should be at every single one of those meetings.
Right.
And it should have been happening all year. So I hope you continue to come, and I thank you, but I would love to know who the Republican member is in the Senate that's holding up this statement. Call them out. I'm sick of everybody getting along and being kind, because we need to know.
Okay.
We need to know who's holding it up so that we can get them out.
Is there somebody holding it up, Brian?
Nope. We just got the last member that says it's okay. So the statement will be coming out pretty much immediately.
You're on the air, Brian, with Brian Pettyjohn, who's been so kind to call back. I'm sure he's feeling great about that. Good morning, you're on. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on with Brian Pettyjohn.
Okay. Okay, I have a question. What are you doing, Senator Pettyjohn, about these vaccine mandates, people that don't want them? I mean, so I'm one of the ones that has to be tested every single week in order to hang on to my job. And sometimes you have to wait in line for 2 hours when you know you feel fine. I mean, you feel like you're being, you know, you put your shoes on every day, and then you have to go ask somebody else, do these shoes fit? Do they look okay on my feet? I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not even sick. And I feel like I'm wasting people's time, and I'm wasting tests of people that are out there that are really sick.
That are really sick, and,
yeah. And so what about these vaccine mandates? If you don't want them, it should be your choice. And what is the Republican Party doing about standing up and taking that away, the vaccine, so you have that choice, so we get to hang on to our job and we can quit testing?
Well, so are you a state employee or private sector employee?
Or what?
Are you a state employee or private sector?
Are you a state employee, or do you work in the private sector?
Well, kind of both. I work for somebody for the state.
Okay, so is your paycheck from the state, or is your paycheck from a non-state agency? or another private employer?
Well, kind of a non-state agency. They're contracted by the state.
Okay. You know, and here's where I've always been. You know, we have always supported private businesses making decision about their business. If a private business says vaccine mandate, well, we can't say, well, we support the decisions of business, except in this situation.
We are employed by the state.
Yeah, so they have to follow the state rules because they're working for the state.
Right. You know, and we've said that we are against the vaccine mandates, period. You know, that's something that we've been consistent about since the vaccine came out. You know, we do not support vaccine mandates. We don't support vaccine mandates to work. We don't support vaccine mandates to go to a movie theater. We don't support, you know, and at least we're not like some states where you can't even go to a restaurant unless you have a vaccine passport. I hope we never get to that point here.
People that have been at their job for 31, 32 years that are going to lose their job because they're not going to take the vaccine. I mean, that's not right.
How about going to court or something, Brian? How about using the courts? Has that been even talked about?
Yeah, why can't we call a Class A action lawsuit of people that's going to lose their jobs?
You can. You know, that's a separate branch of government. Anybody can file a lawsuit.
Except the Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Republicans have filed lawsuits.
Why aren't Republicans out there helping us? Why aren't the Republicans stepping out and helping us and saying, you know, that we want to help you do this? I mean, this is our livelihood. It's going to break our nation. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I took one someone to the hospital this weekend because I knew they didn't have COVID. But anyway, that, you know, you have to get a COVID test in order to find out what is wrong. And so I took them, and the doctor flat out said, you know, well, we're going to call it COVID. You can basically come in for a broken toe, and we're going to call it COVID. I had to ask them to look past COVID. The doctor said, well, you can't have two things going on at once. If we're going to call it COVID, we're going to call it COVID. Well, they took a COVID test. I said, I have no problem with you taking a COVID test, but, you know, I also, you know, want some blood work done on this person. So then he turned around and he got kind of smart. He did the blood work. The COVID test came back negative. So now we're still going to a doctor, you know, trying to take care of this. Not everything is COVID. What the heck happened to the flu or bronchitis or pneumonia or whatever? You know what I mean?
All right.
How long are we going to use this COVID? Until the COVID money runs out or what?
Thank you,
man. We're tired of it. We're tired of putting masks on our face. You know, we're tired of it.
Behind this frustration.
Did you wear a mask yesterday everywhere you went with mask mandate?
Brian, did you wear a mask everywhere?
No, I don't wear a mask everywhere. Right. I don't wear a mask in my house. I don't wear a mask outside.
When you go inside businesses and stuff like that, did you wear a mask?
Yesterday, I was up at Legislative Hall most of the day. So, no, I didn't go into any businesses yesterday. I was working at Legislative Hall.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you for the call. Listen, behind this call is this same frustration where people feel they have a lack of representation and leadership. And you can hear it, obviously. It's behind every call. Mm-hmm. It's behind every call. It's just like all day long. These are Republicans still calling.
These are Republicans. These are Democrats. You know, and I've got to say, you know, the message is out right now. You know, and I could, if you want, I believe it's out on social media, but I'd be more than happy to read what we're putting out there right now.
Let's take one more question, and then I'll let you read that, and then we'll move on. We called to answer one guy's question, but it's just a flood of calls. Brian Pettyjohn is on the phone. Do you have a question or comment for Brian?
Just a quick comment. You know, I'll circle back around to the first caller. I think one of the things that's really important here is not necessarily continuing to create memos that we know don't work from the Republican Party. What the key element here is rallying the people. The people are over it. They're pissed. They've had enough of it. You rally the people behind something like a bill and or, you know, a memo or something like that. You get them all together. That's how you defeat this type of stuff. But you're not going to do it just with a Democratic, state of Delaware where the majority rules there. But if you get enough of people that are really pissed, it's going to change. So just a little piece of advice. That's all I really have to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember back when the sports stuff started and masks, you know, we were at the Unmask Our Children. We were at the there with Christian, or not Christian Hudson, the other, the artist, Abraxas Hudson, you know, when that group had some of the rallies on the mall at Legislative Hall, yeah, there is a movement of people.
What these people are saying is, why don't the Republicans lead these things? These grassroots things are wonderful, but why don't the Republicans step up and say, constituents, come on?
You know, sometimes the grassroots things are the best, because then it's people. It's people from all walks, as opposed to, oh, you've got a Republican that's doing something, so it's going to be a Republican type event. These grassroots organizations, these grassroots groups attract more than just what our base is, the Republicans. It attracts people from all over, and those are extremely effective. And those are things that we support, and those are things that we promote as well.
All right. Do you want to read that statement before we end?
Yep. So, on Tuesday, January 11th, Governor Carney's universal face covering mandate was re-implemented. Additionally, the governor announced plans on Monday to extend the face covering mandates in all public and private K-12 institutions and child care facilities. This requirement was set to expire early next month. We disagree with these measures. We are approaching the two-year anniversary of the state's the first state of emergencies installment, and during these 2 years, the General Assembly has been left out of the decision-making process. We feel strongly that the legislature has a responsibility to provide a balance to the executive branch of government, a balance that has not existed during the pandemic. We are not against the use of face coverings, vaccines, or any other preventative measures against COVID-19. What we are against is the government, specifically one of three supposedly equal branches of government, solely dictating how citizens should live their lives. Delawareans should be able to decide what is best for them and their families. It's imperative that the General Assembly be more involved when it comes to decisions like these, and we must consider legislation that will enable the legislative branch, the branch that represents the people, to be a true balance to executive power in Delaware. And that came from the Delaware Senate Republican Caucus.
Okay, Brian, thank you for the call. Thanks for sharing that, and hope to talk soon, all right?
Sure thing. Take care, Dan.
You're on the air. What's up?
Oh, awesome.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Whatever.
Feel good.
Yeah, I'm listening to Pedjon talk, and I agree with every caller that called in. It's all about messaging. Like, when he was asked questions, it seemed like he couldn't even answer like a real person. It was, you know, well, you know, the filibuster and the caucus and the march and it, like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't understand a word you're saying. You know, like, it's about messaging. When we ask you to go about, ask you a question, you know, we need you to be fiery.